At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
So making yourself available. Be still. Stop for a moment. But the thing you have to do is use the proper tools. Now, if you know anything, Paul talks about the oracle at Delphi. Anybody know that? Supposedly a prophet of one of the goddesses and all that. And they've dug this up. And you go down in the chamber where the prophetess would go, and the earth's giving off fumes. And so the prophetess of their gods would go down there, get toasted, get high on the fumes, and come up and give a prophetic word. That ain't how it works in the kingdom of God. He's given you His Word. He wrote it down for you because you're as slow as I am. I know this. My wife says, go to the store, pick up A, B, C. And I say, honey, write that down. Right? Well, actually, I say, text it to me, because then it's right there on my phone. But the point is, in writing, I can't miss. I still sometimes miss because I got the wrong color box, all right, or whatever. But I don't forget things on the list as long as I check the list. I think I've got the list remembered. This happens, doesn't it, baby? I think, I remember. So I go into the store, get this up, and I don't check my phone because I can remember. And I get home, she goes, well, where's the, oh, man, didn't you read your list? Well, why did I send it to you for? Yeah, that's God. Didn't you read the list? What did I send it to you for? We get ourselves in a pickle, in a mess. God, man, I was like, how come there's no milk in the house? Man, you didn't read the list. He's given it to us in writing. So the word is that proper tool and prayer. Okay, but before we jump to the proper attitude in it again, I want to make a suggestion. I call it a two-way journal. I keep one. You guys see me at prayer. I write in it. Okay, keep a two-way journal, both in Bible study and in prayer. It does a couple things. It helps you be persistent in prayer because new things happen since last week, since the other day, since yesterday. And I tend to pray what's on my mind right now. But the Bible, Jesus Himself gives us a parable about being persistent in prayer. Remember the widow, right? Being persistent in prayer because it does something to us. You don't just browbeat God with your words and all of a sudden He caves. All right, but being persistent in prayer. But something else that it allows me to do is write down the main points, particularly in Bible study. I just read the parable of the minas. What's the main point here? I can write those points down. Here's why. I can come back to them. I'm not suggesting you do a whole sermon outline. I'm suggesting you sit down in your Bible time and you jot down two main ideas. Two things that you see there, all right? And then you spend your time in prayer. I also do this. When God speaks to me in prayer, I write it down. And so it's good for you. And then you can rehearse and look back at the things God has done. Then this, as you're rehearsing who God is, write that down. Your prayer time, God, I thank you. Your provider. Thank you, God, that you're eternal. You don't go away in the middle of my mess. We'll read that in this chapter. I'm just telling you a practice that I use. I call it two-way journaling. I write down what I'm saying to God, and I write down what God's saying to me
through his word and in times of prayer. But then you got to have the proper attitude. You need to understand how important that time with that listening time with God is. You sit and you talk the whole time, you don't understand the importance of it. God doesn't need information. You need his information. You got to take the time. You got to realize how important it is for God to speak to you. Therefore, you need to be attentive, focused, not distracted, however that works for you. If that means you got to leave your phone in the other room during your prayer devotion time you have, maybe that's you. There are people who can't do that. They walk out of the room, oh my God, I forgot my phone. If moms, that means you got to hide in a closet. You know what I'm saying? If it means, honey, watch the kids, I'm going for a drive. And you do this while you're driving, okay? But you got to be able to hear God speak. You don't, we don't need another 12-step, 7-step, 8-step program. We need a word from God. That's what you need in your situation. That's what you need in your marriage. That's what you need in your life, is a word from God. 99.9% of the time, it's going to come right out of the Bible. But he might put a personal tag on that for you. There is no new revelation. I'll leave that alone. That'll get me in trouble. So, but I would suggest you use the journal. That's the biggest tip in there. Okay? So here's the other thing. Have the proper attitude. I just talked about that. I went ahead of my notes. Charles Stanley said this, regardless of how loudly God speaks, we will not hear unless listening is a priority. If you, if I told you, you came to me and said, Pastor Randy, I know you got this degree in business, and I've got this extra amount of money here that I would like to invest. Would you give me advice? And I said, whoa, how about if I have Warren Buffett come over? Anybody who knew who Warren Buffett is? How about if I come over and have Warren Buffett give you advice on investing? Yeah. I'll bet 10 to 1 you show up with the notepad. I bet you 10 to 1 you won't answer a text while he's talking. By the way, he lives in the same house he built in 1955. That should tell you something about how you become rich. But, or how about this? You've got a speech coming up at work. You've got to deliver a sales pitch. You've got to do whatever. And how do you deliver a good speech? Well, Pastor Randy, you speak all the time. Wait a minute. I'm bringing Winston Churchill over. Say who? What? I hate to tell you, I don't speak like Winston Churchill. The man could motivate a nation to take the German Blitz. You know what I'm saying? The bomb. He motivated. I will fight them on the beaches. Guys, come on. Anybody know? Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Hoorah. Yeah. Okay. So he knew how to do that. And I don't necessarily do that as well. But see, you would come. How about this one? If the king, excuse me, skip the queen. What, didn't she just turn 90? Queen? Yeah, she's up there. You guys see the 75th anniversary pictures of the queen and king? That was just cool. That was just cool seeing people married that long. So you get a letter from the queen. Or you get a letter from the president, and it's saying, hey, I would like your help at this. Could you help me do, and the queen says, could you help me, what would be your attitude from that letter compared to get that one? It's to resident. You don't even take the time for those. But if the queen wrote you a letter, how attentive would you be at looking at every word she says? Especially if she said this, I'm coming over to your place. Okay, what time? When? What's the protocol? What things are required when you have a queen? How loud do you bow when the queen comes? Well, I'm going to ask you, God wrote you a letter. How close attention do you pay to it? Where in it, by the way, he does ask you to help him do something. That's the service side of things. So we have to understand how important it is to take the time to hear what God's saying to us. So one of the things we need to realize, I guess, understand, recognize, is God speaks via our thoughts and impressions. This is the hard part. Pastor, how do I know it's not just me? Have you ever said anything like, man, I knew I shouldn't have did that? Guess who was talking to you? Or, man, I wish I would have. Man, I wish I had taken that time to pray with her or him. You didn't know what was going on in their life, but that's just me. I'm just being religious-y thing. I don't need to be praying that. That's God speaking through your thoughts and impressions. Now, that isn't new revelation, by the way, because God tells us to pray continually. All right, so it's not like I get a new revelation that God told me to pray for somebody. And if I'm saying, oh, I shouldn't have did that, there's probably something in the Bible that tells me I shouldn't be doing that. So it's not like it's a new revelation, but God ministers to us through the Holy Spirit, to our spirit, that manifests in our thoughts and impressions, okay? I want you to understand, oftentimes it is disrupting. You ready? Abraham, leave. Where? Just leave. Say what? Packing the kids up. Didn't have any. Okay. But hey, moving the wife. Where are we going? Man, if I went to my wife and says we're moving and she said where? And I said, I don't know. Just put it in the truck. I don't think that'd go very well. I'm telling you, when God speaks, don't think it's just the EBGBs and all fuzzy, nice and warm. It's often disrupting and it may be disturbing and uncomfortable. You ready? Hey, Moses, you're out here tending sheep. Go tell the king of the most powerful nation on the world, let my people go. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. Matter of fact, he says, man, you got the wrong man. I can't speak. I want you to know it is not all of a sudden this rush of overwhelming joy. But I want you to understand, now the idea of peace, oh, you'll have peace. I want you to understand, that doesn't negate the disrupting, disturbing, uncomfortable part. It just this means this, I trust. There's a strength you have to get up and leave and move to a city piled with rocks. And you trust. I'm okay. So I want you to understand, when we say peace, I'm talking about that idea, God, you're in charge, I trust. It'll make it. I know you're saying, go tell Pharaoh. But I understand you're in it, God. That's what we say, you'll have peace. It doesn't mean that you'll have a nice cushy chair to sleep in and a nice soft bed. Everybody who's been to the Philippines with me says amen. Okay? So what happens when you don't listen? If you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, and that will lead to rebellion because you ain't smart enough to figure it out yourself. You can't figure out God's ways on your own. You have to listen to God. And so then you will rebel the command of the Lord, and the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was your father's. Oh, I wish our Congress would hear that. Now says this, he says, Samuel does. Even now, take your stand. See this great thing the Lord will do before your eyes. Isn't this the wheat harvest? I will call on the Lord that he might send thunder and rain. And the context of this is between the latter rains and the former rains that happen in Israel, the harvest takes place, and there's usually not rain. So he says, wait a minute, it's harvest. It's not supposed to be raining right now, but watch what I'll ask God to do. God sends the thunder and the rain, and the people greatly feared the Lord. Isn't that how this whole thing started? His first thing is, fear God. So I'm going to help you get on the way to fearing God. I'm going to ask God to send some booming thunder and a storm to get you to fear him from the get-go. And here's what the people, look at the response. And the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God so that we may not die. I hate to tell you, at this point, that awe turned into don't zap me with lightning. There is that sense of the fear of God. Now, Samuel just doesn't preach him a message. He's going to ask God to give him the sign to reinforce the message. And it starts with the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah. So wait a minute. I'm praying for wisdom. What are you praying for? That God would strike you with holy fear. I want you to think about that a minute. Oh, I just want wisdom. Then you better be ready for God to send a thunder and lightning storm so you're afraid. Because that's where wisdom begins. I know, that don't preach well, does it? Okay. That we might die, for we have added to all of our sins this evil by asking ourselves for a king. And Samuel said, do not fear. Now, wait a minute. Didn't he say this is what you're supposed to do is fear? Then he says, do not fear, for you have committed all this evil. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for that word of encouragement, right? You messed up. Yeah, you're right. You messed up. Yet, Let me put a King James, but. Do not turn aside from following the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Why did he say that? Because he knows human tendency. Once we mess up, we think it's over. What's the point of trying now? I faltered and failed. I can't do it right. That's that condemnation that comes from the, oh, you know what? You're never going to meet up to the standard. Well, the last time I tried giving, man, it didn't work out, man. This went wrong and that went wrong. This went wrong. Yeah, just give up. No. Just because you messed up, don't stop there. Keep serving the Lord. Do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with your heart. No, y'all didn't get that, did you? What are the things he told them to do first? Fear. What does he do? He calls upon God. Then he says, wait a minute. I know you've messed up, but keep serving. Let me put another. Do not grow weary in well-doing. That's the King James, the New Testament version. All right. Keep serving. You don't understand, though. I can't greet people at the door because you don't know how bad I messed up. Oh, really? Did you serve other gods and ask someone else to be your king? And Samuel says, no. Don't quit there. Keep serving the Lord. That word serve again is the word work. It isn't believing. It's serving. Keep serving. Even when you falter, you can keep serving. You must turn aside, though, from that thing that you've done. For then, if you don't turn aside from that, you will go after futile things, which cannot profit or deliver because they are futile. Look at Romans chapter 1 for more idea of that futility. Look at me. I messed up. Oh, we pray that God doesn't zap us. We're at this fear. Just keep serving the thing. For the Lord will not abandon you unless you do enough. Unless you do enough wrong, then he abandons you. Yeah, that's bad theology. It's against the nature, character, and attributes of God. Why? God is faithful. Before he acts, he's faithful. Okay? I'll leave that alone. Okay? Now watch this, though. He will not abandon his people because they're so wonderful. No, on the count of his great name. Not just his name. His great name. The reason God sticks with you and carries you through your own stupid, the own mess you got yourself in by asking for something you really shouldn't have had anyway, God will not leave you, not because you're so special, because his name is tattooed on your head. As a child of God, you carry his name. For that name, oh, wait a minute, let me give you another one. I'm going to preach here in a minute. Prodigal son. The whole time he's eating with pigs, he's still carrying his father's name. So when he's returning, coming back to the father, what's the father do? He runs to him. Because you're still carrying my name, boy. You can mess up and you still have his name. He will not leave you for his name's sake. Oh, man, that'll preach you. Okay? When I'm in my mess, he hangs with me. Not because I'm so lovable. I'm going to be honest. When I'm in my mess, I'm usually not that lovable. My children said amen. I'm usually not that lovable. But it isn't because of my lovability. It says because I have a great name. And your mess, your mistake, your evil will give me a chance to show my great name. How do you know? Oh, see, bro, what you meant for evil, it's all about intent. God said, but God meant for good. What good? For the sake of his name. You ask it. You ask why he's going to do the whole thing in Egypt, the 400 years of captivity, and go make Moses get disrupted and uncomfortable and say, let my people go, that I can show the world that I am the mighty God. Well, I know it does. Anyway. Now, moreover, as for me, this is Samuel now. Far be it from me that I should sin by doing what? Not praying. Ooh, man, it went from shouting to quiet. It's a sin not to pray. Now, wait a minute. Notice this too, the subject of the prayer, that he should not pray for them. The people that rejected him, it's a sin if he doesn't pray for them. Ooh, Lord, forgive me, because there's a lot of people rejecting me I sure didn't pray for. If I did, they were precatory. Precatory means the Psalms where Jesus, where David goes, go get my enemy. I prayed those. But that ain't what Samuel's talking about. He sins by if he stops praying for those that rejected him. let me put it Jesus' words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those who rejected him, he prayed for while they were rejecting him. Not after 7 years of counseling. Now watch this. That I don't want to sin by not praying, and I will instruct you. Wait a minute. Didn't they just reject you? But come on. If you have a rebellious teenager, please don't stop praying for him. And keep up with the instruction. And I will instruct you in the good and right way. Look what it says again. To fear, to serve in truth with all your heart, and consider the great things he has done. Okay, I got to do this because it's on me all over the place. You got a rebellious child. I want you to remember the great things God did in you. I was never a rebellious child, no. That's why they threw me in jail. If you have a rebellious child, I want you to hang on to this. You keep praying for them. You keep them instruction in the fear of God to serve God and in truth. By the way, thy word is truth. There's your instruction for you, okay? With all your heart. And consider what God did for you. If he got you out of that, if he got you through that for his great name's sake, guess what he can do for your kid? Mm-hmm. Or your ex-wife. How many of you pray for the person who rejected you? Uh-oh. But the point is, Samuel reinforces what he said in verse 14. He bookends this message with these things: fear, serve, how to serve, and consider all the great things he has done for you. What's the thing that's not there? Listening. Because he's already said what happens if you don't listen. So I told you, listen, at this point I'm going to instruct you into the fear of the Lord, that you might serve him, do it passionately, and consider. Let me use another word. Rehearse. Rehearse the great things God has done for you. That means, I'm going to advertise my own thing here in your two-way journal. Reminding yourself of what God does and how he answered prayer before. And with the message or this verse I gave the kids, I'm going to do it with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you have taught me to fear you. Thank you, God, that you do speak and I can listen. Thank you, God, that you've called me into service into your kingdom. Thank you, God, for I can just start with that. Do you know what I'm saying? I can just start with that. Thank you, God. Now, I'm going to end with this. The biggest point of this message was the listening part, in case you didn't notice. Yeah, in case you weren't listening, that was the main point, was listening. All right? You must expect God to speak. Why? Because he says he does. Jeremiah, if you will, we've been doing this in the prayer time, okay, if you will seek me, I will show you great and mighty things which you have not seen. He's promised to you, if you seek them, he'll show. Does God keep his promises? Yeah, by his nature, he can't do otherwise. So he promises me, if I'm listening, ready? He's broadcasting, you got to find the frequency. When I turn on the radio, I expect to find something on the radio. Now, I might have to tune to the thing I want. TV, same way. God's always broadcasting. He's always broadcasting. You got to tune to the right station and expect God to speak. Now, let's assume he does. Now, what do you do with that? I need to let you know that God, it isn't always about you. It isn't always about you, and I had that in my notes somewhere. But often God will speak to you so that you might, and this is in Isaiah, I think, 46, and I thought I had it in my notes. Let me see if I can find it real quick and read it. Oh, Isaiah 50. For the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary with one word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens me, awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. From what? The word he gave him to the one that was weary, that he could encourage with one word. We go to God so often, so selfishly, to listen. All we want to do is hear about us. But since I've been called to serve and do his work, and Christ came to serve, not to be served, I suggest maybe once in a while when you're sitting down and listening, God, show me how you can use me to be the one word to the weary person who needs the encouragement. Let's stand. Father, I ask that you set this word in the heart of everyone hearing. Lord, I ask you to rehearse it in their mind, that it would fulfill the work in which you sent it. That God, for your great name, you will teach us to listen. And in that, O God, you are glorified. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.